Well, I want to welcome Dr. Jay and Maridel Rawlings up here, and they're going to share with you a message, good news from Israel. So without further ado, I want to welcome them here this morning. Let's give them a great big hand.
Shalom and welcome. It's so good to see all of you dear hearts here this morning. This is, my wife and I have been in Canada since April 28th, and this is about our 40th message in 40 days. So we've been really poured out. We're like Israeli oranges, well squeezed by now. But praise God, the Lord has more in store. Can you say amen to that? Yes, we never can out, you know, he's never empty. We just have to stay in him, and then we flow in him, and we've got what we need. Somebody said one time to me, well, do you have the message? And I said, I don't know, but the messenger's got me. So that's about how we are today. But I want my wife to come up, and she's going to say a couple words. And Daniel is here. You've already seen him, our youngest son. Where are you, Dan? Somewhere over there. There he is. And he's been a tremendous help to us. He's a filmmaker in his own right in Israel. All four of our sons work in media in different aspects of it. And Daniel is a very good editor and an excellent cameraman. And so we're glad to have him along with us. We've been preparing little reports for our blog spot, and they're going up soon because our blog has been under construction lately. So, and our website, I should say. Our website's been under construction. So come on up, darling. This is my girlfriend for 50 years. And she's a wonderful mom and a grandmom and a writer and a wonderful counselor and praise for me, and I need it.
I'm so happy to be here today. And you know, you learn to take the temperature when you go and travel so much. And my prayer is for the presence of the Lord, and that we will all be different. We can't keep coming through the doors and keep going out the same way. It doesn't work like that. And the Lord wants a people, and he needs you all desperately, and he needs you the way he needs you, not the way you think he needs you. And the only way to know who you are is to know him. He has given me my true inheritance because he is my inheritance. And what I have found that Jesus did for me is he showed me my potential. He showed me what he could do with me. For others. It was so awesome. Wow. And it keeps happening. I mean, just because you're 72 doesn't mean you quit. We're just getting started. And, yeah. And I want to thank God today that my son is here. Daniel is our youngest. We have four, as David, Jay said. I was 46 when Daniel was born. They said to me, when I was 24, you will never have children. We have four beautiful sons, and they all stand with us in the work. No, they don't work with us full time. There's no money. Are you serious? We live by faith. We hang on. But they give of their talents. They give of their time. They give of their expertise. The boys have built the websites. The boys have built the blog. They've done all the filming. Dad writes the scripts. He gets the visions. He gets the timing. He gets the subjects. But the boys have fulfilled it. And we're so honored and grateful for our kids. No, they're not super big, wonderful, gorgeous, religious people. They're real. They're hardworking dirt men. They're in the dirt. They're in the streets. They're in the roads. They sweat. They work. They pay 45% taxes. They live in that Israeli economy. But they're with us. And they're with the Lord. And the Lord doesn't have carbon copies. He has unique creations. Let yourself be His unique creation. But yesterday we were in a Messianic synagogue. Has anyone here ever been in a synagogue? No? I know, it's another world, isn't it? Those funny Jews, those strange people, those tough, hard-necked, militaristic, selfish, money-grabbing Jews, right? What was Jesus? What was Jesus? I'm Israeli, and this is how we teach. You have to respond, because if you're not, you're dead. That's how we teach. So, what was Jesus, friends? And don't be nervous with me. Be relaxed and respond. And don't get upset with me. That's foolish. Of course, Pastor Bill, a Jew. Chosen from before the foundation of the world to live where? Israel. And the Gideons now have an app on their telephone, and they're telling us that Jesus was a Palestinian. What has the world come to? The Romans called it Palestine. God called it Israel, friends. But yesterday we were in a Messianic synagogue in Calgary. And if you want a blessing, if you're in a place where you can go and worship with them, you go and do it, because it will expand your faith. And it will teach you about Jesus. And so when the rabbi heard that Daniel was a Sabra, does anybody know what a Sabra is? A Sabra is a cactus. It is the most miserable, nasty cactus in the world. It grows taller than I am, and it has fruit like this. And that fruit is covered with 1,000 needles. And you cannot even touch it. You can't go near it. The birds never bother it. You have to have pincers on a long arm to clip them off and put them in a bucket. And then they have to be frozen and then sliced. But what's inside of that fruit? It is the sweetest jelly you can imagine. And that is what an Israeli-born person is called. Because they're really touchy on the outside. But inside, they're jelly. And Jesus was called to be a Sabra. But he was beautiful on the outside too. But I'll tell you what. He could slice it right down the middle. Couldn't he? Did you hear anybody talk as tough as he did? Did you know that Jesus talked tough? Oh, yeah. He was a terrible threat to the nation. And do you know what the historians in Israel say today? Jesus reached. We feel, they say that there were 2 million Jews living in Israel at the time of Jesus. And he had a following of 500,000. One quarter of the population followed him. He was the biggest threat to the establishment. But coming back to the synagogue, so the rabbi said, Daniel, you're a Sabra. You've had your bar mitzvah. You're a Jewish boy. I want you to read the Torah in the morning. Now, the Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible, and it's written in a scroll, a lambskin scroll. And it's unrolled, and they read it, and they wrap. It's such a beautiful thing. It's rolled up and it's in leather, beautiful velvet coverings. And the men wear their prayer shawls and they wear their kippahs on their heads. Why do they do that? Because that's where the glory of God sits. When the anointing comes down, you feel it on your head and your shoulders and your arms. And it's to honor his presence. And so they put the scrolls in Daniel's arms and he went down and he processed through the people with the scrolls. We have a movie of it. I'd love you to see it. But what happens? All the people run to the scrolls and they touch them, usually with their Bible, because you don't put your hand on it. And then they kiss the Bible. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. Jesus is the living Torah. It's so beautiful. Everything is show and tell in Israel. Everything is show and tell. All the feasts are a rehearsal of what God has done and is doing and will do in the future. But it was such a high day to be there yesterday, and it's a high day to be here with you today. And I've taken too much time already, so I better quit. But we just want to bring you a little bit into our world. Does anybody know what the name Jesus means? You see, these are the roots of your faith. This is your faith, your God. Jesus means salvation. Yeshua. Jesus in English. You know, Jesus isn't nervous. We pray Jesus, we pray Yeshua. What is he in your language? How do you say his name in your language? Yeshu. Where are you from? Sudan. Welcome. Sudan. Yeshu. Jesu. You're from South Africa. Oh, are you? Yes. Yeshu. Any other words we use for Jesus here? Yesu, where are you from? From the Congo. How wonderful. Any other? Yes. Yesu Cristo. Beautiful. See how wonderful it is. And he answers to everyone, doesn't he? You're calling out in the name of salvation. He is the God of our salvation. So thank you that you will remember to pray for Israel. Thank you that you will remember to pray for Jerusalem. Thank you that you are commanded to pray for Jerusalem. Because the battle is to take the city. Surely you understand that. And why is the battle to take the city? Why would Islam love to have their throne in Jerusalem? Because it is a counterfeit religion. Because Satan detests and hates everything that God has created, including you. He wants it. He wants us. He can't have us. And he can't have Jerusalem either. Or Canada. And so we came to do a tour. God said, you go across Canada. And he said, you're going to go, and I want you to dig ditches for the rivers. The rivers are dry, friends. There's a dearth in the land. There's a drought in the church. And there are good reasons for it. But the Lord said, you dig ditches. He said, you're going to run into mud and gravel. But he said, I'm going to fill it with my spirit. But it's been amazing because everywhere we've gone, Jay has given a red alert. He's given a warning, and, you know, people are sitting in their seats and they're thinking, oh, isn't this a little bit over the edge? Isn't this a little bit dramatic? And when we were in Toronto, National Post headlines this big, Canadian jihad. Does anybody know what the word jihad means? Yeah, we got that message, right? Right there, front page. Then we're in Winnipeg. We had a terrible turnout in Winnipeg. It was very difficult. People couldn't see the need for the ministry. And the day we went and got on the plane to come to Calgary, the RCMP moved in and found a sleeper cell, an ISIS sleeper cell, just like my husband had said. Canada's up for grabs. We need you to stand up. We are a nation at war with its own foundations. The smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. Those are the words of President George Washington. And I will close with 1 Timothy 2, 1-3. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good
and pleases God our Savior. But we are not living quiet lives in Canada in all godliness and holiness. We are having the very name of God stripped away, ripped away, pulled away, cursed, put down under the feet of our rulers. I'm speaking of the High Court, the Supreme Court. And I haven't heard any voices raised against it, but I pray to God there have been, because the people of the Lord are here. And please visit me on our table before you leave. We have our book. It's the story of our call out of Canada. It's called Love My People. You'll hear a little more of that on a film. And Jay is speaking today on Israel, the nations, and the future. And it's something that you need to share, to give away, to share in schools, university classes, men's clubs. Educate your people, friends. And the Lord bless you today.
Amen. Well, we want to say that Brooks and Israel have something in common. Did you know that? We have in Israel about 105 dialects. In Brooks, you have 106. Amen? So it's an international city. We're talking about international topics. And today I want to talk about Israel, Canada, the nations, and the future. The reason why I'm writing, produced this program, because I felt that it was essential for people to understand what is actually happening today is in the world is actually a prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We are a prophetic teaching ministry. You've heard of the fivefold ministries? What are they? Come on, tell me. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, God has called Meridell and I to be a teacher, to be teachers, and we use the media to teach. We've taught millions of people around the world through our television programs and teachings and books and various ways. It's very important that you get a biblical perspective on what's happening today around the world. It's very important to see how relevant the Bible is today. And in the last 3 years, we've produced a number of important documentaries. One of them was called Israel, Iran, and the Bible. The next one was called Israel, Syria, and the Bible. The third one is Israel, the Nations, and the Future. And another message I'm giving on this tour across Canada is called Israel, ISIS, Revival, and You. And it's a very important message. And I'm going to bring in a little bit of it today so that we can get the best of everything in a very short period of time. But anyway, these programs, Israel Around in the Bible, Israel Syria in the Bible, taught me something. As I was writing the scripts, I got a revelation. And you know what the revelation was? It was that the same spirits that were operating thousands of years ago are still operating today. Can you say amen to that? For example, Israel, Iran, and the Bible, I discovered that the Prince of Persia spirit is still operating through the mullahs and the ayatollahs, and they're calling for the destruction of Israel, destruction of the Jewish people. Every rocket they produce has written on the side of it, destroy Israel. Every rocket. And this regime, this current regime in Persia or in Iran today, has a vision. Do you know what the vision is? It's to reestablish the Persian Empire on earth today. And they're doing it by way of terror and violence. They have surrogate terrorists. For example, in the south of Israel, we have the Gaza Strip area. And in Gaza, we have the most populous place on the planet. There's more than 10,000 people per square kilometer there. And they have, they're controlled, 1.8 million people are actually controlled by about 100,000 Hamas operatives. And those Hamas operatives or terrorists are paid by Iran. They're the surrogates of Iranian terror working in the south of Israel with their rockets pointed at Israel, with 15,000 rockets coming into Israel over the last few years. And so Israel has had to develop what's called the Iron Dome. Have you heard of that? The Iron Dome missile, anti-missile system, and it works. So when they fire a rocket at us, immediately the heavenlies are scanned by these Israeli security system, and immediately a rocket goes up to take out the incoming rocket. It's just like prayer. Hello? That's what we're called to do. We're called to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. No, in the Spirit on every day, so we can know what's coming at us and pray and bring down the enemy. Amen? Okay, so this Spirit is in operation today. They are trying to control, they control Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization in Lebanon, when Lebanon is directly north of Israel. So you've got south and north. They have 100,000 rockets pointed from Lebanon against Israel. Then they have rockets over in Syria on the east. So they have successfully surrounded Israel with rockets, funded and paid for and supported and sponsored by Iran. Iran today is the world's largest exporter of terror. How many have heard that before? That's the truth, and it's actually very, very clear. And why are they invading Yemen now? Yemen is a little country on the southwest corner of the Arabian Peninsula that sticks out into the Indian Ocean. Why are they coming in that country, and why are they attacking there? What do they want down there? Simple. They want to control the waterway that goes right by there, the Bab al-Mandab. It means the way of tears, and they want that. And you're nodding your head. One of these brothers knows that, because what happens? The ships loaded with oil go up through the Suez Canal, supplying Europe. And then the other way, they go down through the Strait of Hormuz on the east side of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, from the Euphrates River, from the Iranian oil and the oil suppliers, and it goes right out over into Asia and to China. And so they are putting a stranglehold on the world economy, and nobody even knows anything about it, unless you're a student of what's going on over there. And it's actually happening. Right now, they are trying to control the whole world. Okay, the ancient spirit, Prince of Persia spirit, remember against Daniel, kill the Jews then. Remember in the story of Esther, there was a plan to destroy all the Jews in the world, the first major genocide. It was a worldwide genocide of the Jewish people. And that same spirit infused Hitler, because he had a plan, a very, very well orchestrated plan to destroy the Jewish people. Unfortunately, he was successful to the point of 6.5 million Jews, and 1.5 million of them were children. But it's the ancient spirit. Destroy the Jews then, now kill Israel. Same spirit. Israel, Syria in the Bible, the ancient Assyrian spirit. Disperse the Jews then, now destroy Israel and mankind. The terror has grown up, ISIS has grown up right in that area. If you read Revelation 9:13, it talks about four death angels going to be released from the river Euphrates. Where is ISIS today? Where is ISIS based today? Come on. In Syria and Iraq. That's what ISIS means. IS is Islamic State, Syria, Iraq and Syria. That's what ISIS means. And they're based in those countries, and they have a plan to control the whole Middle East. That's why you sometimes hear them called ISIL, Islamic State in the Levant. But anyway, mostly known as ISIS. And they are determined to rule the world because of Sharia law. They believe that they have the right to rule the world because Islam is the final revelation of God to man. You see, Muhammad came for 600 years after Jesus. And so therefore, they are the final religion, and therefore the final truth, they believe. And that when Messiah, their Messiah, the Mahdi, comes, He is going to destroy the cross, break the cross, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, kill all infidels, and or those that won't, those that will convert to Islam, they'll keep them, and then rule the world with Islam. How many know that? That's what's called Sharia law. They have a plan, a jihad plan, to control the world. And as Meridel mentioned, this was the headline in the paper just as we arrived here. Islamic or Canadian jihad. The Islamists are salivating over Canada. Do you know that? They want Canada so bad. This is such a beautiful country. It's so rich. How many know that? Those of you that have come from other countries know that Canada is a very rich country. How many of those that are Canadians know that Canada is a very rich country? And it's very much on the target for the Islamists to rule and control Canada. They want this country so bad. And inside this article, there's a byline in here. Five people have gone from Calgary, five Islamists, young people, have gone from Calgary and joined Islamic Jihad. And it's happening all over the world, this idea of young people doing that, because it's a seduction spirit. It tells these young Islamists who are disenfranchised, they don't know who they are, they are usually out of work, they need to be recognized, they need money, they need power, and they need women, and this ISIS offers them all of this. And it says in their Islamic fundamentalist belief, if they die in a jihad, they go straight to heaven and get 72 virgins. I'm telling you, it's filthy. It's a filthy cult religion based on lies and death. And yet people get sucked into it. Right here in our own nation.
But the war, I know, but the war that's been raging for the last 20 years is all on the Euphrates River. And it says that these fallen angels, these spirits, are going to be loosed. They are bound now, and they're going to be loosed. Perhaps they're bound from the fall of Satan, the time of the fall of Satan. And they're going to be loosed, and they're going to take the lives of one-third of the world. It's wake up time. The prophets say, because we don't read the Old Testament, we don't know what the prophets say. It says Damascus will be a ruinous heap that only a fox will run through. It's coming. It says that Egypt will be destitute of people. There will be no people in Egypt. They will be taken out of Egypt, friends. And it even says they'll be brought back a generation later. That's never happened. This is on the horizon. And what do they want more than anything? They want Jerusalem, like I said this morning, because the thrones of the Lord are set in Jerusalem. And when the Lord says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he's not asking you. He's commanding you. It is in the imperative. But I don't care. That's got nothing to do with me. I'm a Christian. Get it late. Get it straight, lady. I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're going to know what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth today because he needs you.
Yes, you're considered an infidel and you're going to get it first. Okay, let's read the green scripture at the bottom all together. 1, 2, 3. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. An opinion poll was done in the States, and they asked, what kind of TV shows would you like to see? People answered. The majority said, we want to know what's going to happen in the future because we are afraid. Disciples asked Jesus the same question. They said, when will your coming be? What will be the sign of the your coming and the of the end of the age. And Jesus answered. Remember, he gave them signs. And I'm not going to go over those signs today, but they're for sure happening today in the earth. Some of the signs are physical. Wars, rumors of wars, diseases, famines, earthquakes. Others of the signs are spiritual. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Many getting betraying one another, false messiahs, false prophets, lawlessness. When you turn on your TV now, when you turn on TV to see what's going on around the world, what do you see? War, lawlessness, killing, murder, and it's always to do something with Islamists. It's Boko Haram in Nigeria. It's the Islamists in the Middle East. It's crazies over in Malaysia. It's more in other parts of the world. And even in Canada, even in Ottawa, you had the incident that happened there and in Quebec. So these are some of the signs that Jesus said, lawlessness. And that he gave insider information to his disciples. But Israel has both spiritual and physical signs happening in Israel. That's why Israel's the most interesting country, because it's actually fulfilling the prophecies that Jesus mentioned as well. And Jesus said, be alert, let no one deceive you. Hello, can you say amen to that? No one deceive you. Watch and pray. He didn't mean watch TV. He meant watch with the eyes of the Spirit. And you know, when you look around the world, there's world leaders that have their lights on. Other world leaders have their lights off. Think about Prime Minister Stephen Harper. He has his lights on. He understands what's going on. That's why he stands up for Israel and righteous things. I met Prime Minister Harper when we were on our sabbatical out on Vancouver Island, and I shook his hand after a rally he was speaking at, and I said, as an Israeli, but as a Canadian, as a dual citizen, I want to thank you, Mr. Prime Minister, for your stand for with Israel. And he looked me square in the eye and he said, well, it's just the right thing to do. Hello? That's called righteous government. And that's what we need in this country. Men with discernment and righteousness. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England, he's got his lights on. Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, her father was a pastor. She knows what's going on in the world from a biblical point of view and has said categorically, we will stand for the Jews. Jews will always be welcome in Germany, no matter what anybody says. And there's 400% anti-Semitism rising around the world in the last 6 months. It's happening. No, you know, old Holocaust survivors today from Germany in Israel cannot believe what's happening in Germany today and in Europe and in France. They can't believe that it's happening all over again. So my question to you is the eternal destiny of nations being set today? Is that that's a question. Can I have an answer from the audience? Hello? Don't be shy. Don't be Canadian. Don't be say, oh, I'm sorry. Don't say I'm sorry. Is the nation's national destinies being set today according to the Bible? Come on. Yes. Uncategorically, yes, it is. National destinies. Sheep or goat nations. And how do you know whether a nation's going to be a sheep or a goat nation, Pastor? When you preach in your congregation, you say, pay your tithe, pray for the sick, go out and preach the gospel. All the sheep in your congregation go, amen, Pastor. And all the goats go, no way. Bad news, but. Right? So mercy and moral character and social action are all working together in a country to make it a sheep nation. Thank God Canada and Israel have a special connection today. But the national attitude to the least of these, my brethren, is the key. And the historic treatment of Jews, now, and now the nation of Israel was born in May the 14th, 1948. All of these things came together because nations are determining their destiny on how they treat Israel. Hello? It's right. It's happening. Why? Because of God's eternal principles there in Genesis 12:3. I will bless them corporately. A lot of people, I will bless them that bless thee, the descendants of Abraham, and I will curse him singularly, hello, singularly, that curses the Jews. So if you want a national blessing, you need to be blessing what God blesses and what God loves. Now, we know that the least of my brethren today are the poor, the sick, the hungry, those in prison, and that's true. But it also refers back to the brothers and sisters of Jesus.
Mr. Netanyahu stood up against terror in, was it April? March, when he went to the Congress of the U.S. And he stood up, and the world made him look like a fool, like a warmonger, like a troublemaker. But he warned. That was a prophetic speech he gave. You were listening to prophecy through the mouth of a world leader that is despised. Despised. And he was there the day before the Feast of Esther. And it was history repeating itself. How many thousands of years later? Esther was not invited to go to the king. She could have lost her life. But she went because her people needed to be saved. They were not destroyed in Persia. Netanyahu went at the invitation of the Speaker of the House, not at the invitation of the President. And Mr. President was, he had his neck put out of joint, and it's never been put back in since. Because nobody says no to him. Well, somebody did. Mr. Netanyahu stands up publicly and says to the world, our best friends in the world are Canadians and born-again Christians. Do you know any other nation that would say such a thing, that would even want to be identified with born-again Christians when our own nation is trying to put us down?
One reason why Prime Minister Netanyahu's lights are on. You know why? Because he has a Bible study every week in the Prime Minister's residence on Saturday. A Bible study. You can't study the Bible without learning what is important and what isn't important, right? And how to battle and how to do battle. It's there, right there. Okay, we've got to go quick because our time is running out. But world systems today, I go back to this vision. Or the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that was it was interpreted by Daniel the prophet, and it was revealed by Daniel the prophet and interpreted. Remember that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28 to 35. I'm not going to go into that, but he was there. All the people that were soothsayers and false prophets and all those people were pulled together. And the king said, if you can't tell me the dream and tell me the meaning of it, you're going to be killed. And so they were getting really nervous. And they said, but wait, there's some guys from Israel here. Remember those guys that came in from Israel? They may be able to help us. And so Daniel came on and he said, give us a couple of days to fast and pray. And they got them, and he got the meaning and the understanding, got the understanding of what the dream was and what the meaning of it was, and saved the day for all the people. And it was, the head was gold, the chest was silver, it was a big statue, and the belly was bronze, and the legs were iron, and the feet were iron and clay mixed. And those actually represent all the different world systems of rulership, okay? That's the importance of this understanding of this vision. And so I'm going to go straight to the bottom one, the feet of iron and clay mixed. That's where we are today in this hour. And what happened? Remember, a rock, a big stone cut without hands, comes down from outer space, as it were, at meteorite speed and hits this statue on the feet and destroys it. It becomes dust. It collapses down to dust. And then it says the wind comes along. And the word for wind in Hebrew is ruach, or spirit. The spirit comes along and blows it all away. But the rock that did the job starts to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and fills the whole earth. Now, who is the cornerstone? Do we have any First Nations people here today? I love it because he's the chief cornerstone. And it comes, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the kingdom of God, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. Are you part of the kingdom of God in Brooks, Victory Church in Brooks? Is everybody a part of the kingdom of God here? If somebody's here this morning that hasn't given their life to Jesus, this is the moment to do it. Don't delay, because the kingdom of God is going to keep growing and growing, but it'll leave you behind if you haven't given your heart to Jesus fully, 100%. This is the hour to do it. Please. And so the iron and clay are mixed. I believe the iron is democratic. It represents the democracies, and the clay represents Islam. The two will not mix. They cannot mix because they're fundamentally separated and different. Democracy depends on the free will of people to elect people. Islam is called submission. That's what Islam means. And if you are in submission, you have no free will. You have to give your will over to Islam. And that's why they do not mix. But we have done a study on the democratic index today in the world. And what you see up here on the screen, oh, I didn't do it for you. Is that it? Yeah. The democratic index shows that there are many democratic countries. There's the G20 nations. You know that the prime minister is at G7 right now. The G20 nations, plus Israel, plus Switzerland, plus Norway, and a few others. And they represent 90% of the gross domestic product of the world and 67% of the world's population. And this is how democracy works, okay? As you know, democracy works with, you're the people down here. Can you see yourself in Brooks somewhere here? This is Canada, and there you are, the people. Now, on October the 19th this year, you're going to vote for your elected leaders in Ottawa, right? And you're going to elect them, and they're going to be there for about 4 years, doesn't it? Now, they are the ones that run the country, right? They run the country, right? Wrong. They don't run the country, actually. Who runs the country? The elite, the bureaucrats. And they're in office every day and not even appointed. And they're there day in and day out affecting you, influencing you every day, every hour, every minute, and every second. How? I'll tell you. For example, let's look at the economy. The economists determine the economic policy of this country. Does anybody ask you, Bill, what the interest rates should be in the banks or the like that? Not too often. They don't call you up. So it's just told what these things will be good for your benefit, obviously. But you're told that. But it sets a very bad precedent. Why? If you look at the military, nobody asks you about how that goes. Legal. This is the Supreme Court. Right now, we have a Supreme Court Chief Justice, Barbara McLaughlin, and she's taking God out of the equation. She's taking him out. Kevin, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. They want God's name taken out of our national anthem. You know, where it says, God keep our land, which, by the way, when you sing it, you feel the anointing on it, right? And then it says, we will stand on guard for thee. Yes, no, she didn't want that either. She just wants just to become blobs of nothing. No prayer before the council meetings. The name where it says he shall have dominion from sea to sea out of Psalm 72, the very essence of the plaque that represents this country wants that out. And when we were in Ottawa for our first meetings, and one of the MPs, Dr. James Lunny, our dear friend from BC, he took us around and showed us in the center block and in the House of Commons all the scripture verses in the stained glass windows and in the stone and. The whole government is founded on the Word of God. And she wants to take it out. One person. And who's standing up against this? Very few. Dr. James Lunny had to become an independent because it wasn't convenient to the Conservative Party for one to be such a renegade, to stand up against this. He still votes Conservative because his electors, his people there in BC elected him. So he does that. But he explained to the Prime Minister, "Sir, I have to, go out so I can speak up for Canadian, for a Christian lifestyle." Because you see, they're trying to take Christian lifestyle and represent you as being stupid and being ancient and being out of step with the reality of life. But it's a fool's paradise. Because you know what? About 70% of people in Canada or more are believers in some way or another and are God-fearing people. But the 1% or the 2% in Ottawa that want to take God out of the picture think they can rule the rest. This is not going to happen if you, in your place on October the 19th, stand up and vote righteously. This is what God is calling you to do. Vote righteous government back into this country. You saw what happened in Alberta. It can happen very quickly. Slip over to socialists. And that's the next step after that the next step. You're going to give your own imagination. Okay. So all of these entities that you see here are affecting you every day. And I go back to the media. Media, I'm a media person. They did a study in the United States and they found that 80% of the people that produce television shows in America are atheists, whereas 80% of the people watching the shows at home are God-fearing people. There's a problem here. That's a major problem. There's a disconnect. And that's for a reason. They want to infuse homosexual lifestyle. They want to infuse transgender appreciation and all of this stuff. I mean, why would Bruce Jenner get, I don't know how many billion or million tweets, Big deal. What's unbelievable? Okay. And the bottom there, it says, the overriding humanist ideals of this system is money equals power and influence, which, as you know, is false. Now, the next slide I show you, do you see it? Oh, yeah. It's the other one-third of people on earth are Islamic people, and Islam rules those people without a free will. And wherever you see the problem on the earth, you see Islamic fundamentalists are creating the problems. And this egg here, you see this egg here? That's Islam. It will not fit into this democratic thing for the people. It won't fit in there because they're fundamentally different, as I mentioned. But here's the problems. Refugees. The unrest in this area are creating refugees. They believe that the fundamentalists believe that the Mahdi, or the false messiah of Islam, is already on planet Earth. And the way he's going to come is when there's chaos and violence and terror and war happening on planet Earth. That's when the Mahdi will appear. And that's exactly what's happening today on planet Earth. More and more and more war and unrest. Okay. And so weapons of mass destruction, they want to have, the Iranians want nuclear weapons so bad, Why? So they can control the world through their weapons of mass destruction. Okay? Now, all of this, what I'm telling you, is written up in detail in this booklet on the table there. And inside the booklet is a DVD of all that I'm telling you, only in much more detail. So if you're interested in this for prayer purposes, please make yourself available to the table afterwards, okay? And then, oops, this is where we're going. Theocracy, a Judeo-Christian kingdom of God system, where God is the authority with the Messiah underneath him. The people all have a free will choice, prophets and priests, and the people, the hallmark of the people is servanthood, humility, and obedience. And I love the scripture of 1 Peter 2:9, which describes who we are. I'm going to read that to you quickly. This is who we are to be in the earth. But you are a chosen generation. Say, I'm a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Say, I'm a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. His own special treasure, people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are your lights on? Hello? I'm so glad that your lights are on, because in this church can make a difference in this community. It's so important that you keep your lights on and be aware of what's happening around the world. And support Israel. Yes. So the kingdom of God on earth is going to keep growing and growing and growing, and support those that are expressing this kind of truth out into the world. And that's us. So please consider being a partner with us. Thank you that this is a partner church with us. We thank you, Pastor Jordan and Thompson, for your ongoing support.
Father God, we thank you that we are your chosen people. We thank you for this church, and Lord, we ask your blessing on Pastor Jordan and Thompson as they lead it, Lord. Anoint them for the task, Father. We thank you for the Rawlings, Lord, that have traveled many miles and continue to travel. We thank you, Father, for their example of leading, and Father, for hearing your voice and being willing to do what you wanted them to do. Bless them and their family, Father, and their work. And may people catch the vision of the importance of Israel. And Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father, that your peace will come there, Father. We pray that the scales will fall off, as it were, off the Jewish people's eyes, and they will recognize who you are, Lord Jesus. Amen. That you came to set them free. Yes. And, oh God, we thank you. We thank you for the plan. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you fulfilled the plan. Yes. Yes. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us to go and accomplish those things you want us to do. And Father, we pray for this nation, Canada, glorious and free. Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister. Oh God, anoint him and protect him and bless him with wisdom. And Father, may he say and do the things that you want him to say and do. And we pray, Father, for all those in government, Father. Oh God, may they recognize that they're answerable to you. Lord, that you put them in those places of power and authority. Amen. And they will answer to you. Oh God, may our nation wake up. May Christians wake up. May we cry out to you, oh God. Amen. And Lord, may we stand for truth and righteousness. May your word be our guide, and may we humble ourselves before you and allow you to be Lord of our lives. Father, we know the time is late. All the signs around are lining up with your word. And Lord, may we be found watching and looking for your return when you burst forth from the clouds, when you come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who will rule and reign forever, coming as a mighty warrior. You'll not be spit on or mocked again. You will not be put down. You will come to rule and reign. And oh God, we want to submit our will to your will. Guide us and lead us and direct us. We thank you for your blessing, oh God. We choose your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
And the word says, and if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and fast and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land. And everybody says, amen.
Right on. Thank you, Dr. J. and Maridel.